This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. I felt like I was getting a scratchy throat yesterday. It drove me crazy. Little thing like that. And you obsess over it, and you're like, I don't need to get sick in January.
Yeah.
Right?
Terrible idea.
Yeah. So I was a little bit annoyed. And I don't know, I woke up this morning, it's still sort of scratchy. So I'm going to ignore it and hope it goes away. That's what I'm going for. You reckon that'll work?
As a huge fan of drugs,
yeah,
I think you should be proactive.
Did I tell you drugs are bad, MK?
Yes.
I did?
Get yourself one of those anti-inflammatory sprays for your throat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I want to have a whole pharmacy in my cupboard next to my desk. A whole pharmacy.
Yeah.
So I don't have to visit a pharmacy. How do I do that? How many years do I have to study to get that?
Well, just, I don't know, kidnap a pharmacist.
Just lock them in the cupboard?
2-3 months, but and the only way they can be released if they order everything to your door. Sorry, that sounded so unhesitantly sinister.
It did. It sounded like you've done this before.
Well.
Like a total creep.
But hang on. Pharmacies have shelves and shelves and shelves and shelves of drugs.
And Gareth's got time and time and time and time to go through all of it.
But there is no way you're going to be able to stock everything.
Why not?
Well, where are you going to keep it, Gareth?
I'll find places. We've got that whole other studio on the other side. I could just build shelves.
Okay.
If you want something, you can do it, right? That's what Will Smith... No, it wasn't Will Smith. Was it Kanye? No, it wasn't Kanye. If I can see it, it was... Mr. Pedophile, that's right. If I can see it...
Yes, brother.
Then I can be it.
Okay, now.
If I just believe it... Woo! There's nothing to it.
Hey now.
I believe I can fly.
I can fly.
Beautiful. Okay. That's how you wake up this morning.
Was that too high?
No.
I thought we were all harmonizing.
So, last night we had our Shape of Water premiere, which was a biggie. It was a sold out crowd.
Yikes.
Nice group of people.
There were people sitting on the sides, on the steps.
Jeez. I arrived a little early, and there was another movie on at a cinema across from us. And there were just so many old people. I thought, uh-oh.
Charlie's Angels have rebooted again?
I don't know what it was. And I just saw these old, old, old people going in there. They were so old. You know what I mean?
That is such an accurate observation.
Sweet Jesus. The one woman, if you'd gone, she would have turned to dust.
Wait.
She was held together by spittle.
Was it a lot of old people, or did you just see one or two?
Oh, it looked like the old age home had taken a bus and said to everybody, free movie Wednesdays or Thursdays. Anyway, so I arrived and I thought, oh my God, this is our audience.
You know, I saw an old man.
It's time to quit.
Who had this massive bandage over his nose. It looked like he had just gotten a nose job 2 seconds before.
Wow. And he's really old and he's got a nose job? I mean, what's the point?
Massively old. Yeah. And then I saw another old person who, as we had our own guest...
You sound like such ageists at this moment.
The two of you right now.
I'm talking about us too. I didn't involve you and Ben.
We're just being honest. Then there was also a table.
Maybe he wanted a nose job because he snores.
I don't know. We were just welcoming our guess. And then there was an old lady who came up to me and said, excuse me, may I just sit down, please? I'm like, oh.
Shame, of course.
Jeez, okay, sure. Here's a chair. Sit down, lady.
Wow. Listen, these people were very, anyway, I saw them. I thought, those can't be our listeners, right?
No.
And then I realized, hang on, it's like 7:15 and our people are only arriving at 7:30. And I don't know. Like, how do people go to movies from 8 o'clock in the evening and still, get ready for the next day? I know I sound like an old man now, but you need to have a bit of time and then you get into bed and you go to sleep. You actually have some hours of sleep. If you wake up like we do first thing in the morning, and many people do, it's not just us. The gyms are full right now. The traffic is crazy on the highway again. It's back to normal.
Yeah, but I mean, every now and again, you like to treat yourself. So one night in the week, you'll do something a little bit more risque.
Oh.
And you go to a late movie.
Oh. Is that risque? It's very risque.
Listen, for some it is.
You sound like George Takei.
Oh my.
Oh my.
While I'm not out raping young men, oh. I'm doing risque things. Ah, shame. I like George Takei. I hope that's not true. I hope.
Well, he admitted it.
Yeah.
No, well, he said, it's I invited a boy to my apartment and we fiddled around, but it didn't go so well. So I sent him on his way.
Yeah, the guy ended up going to therapy for 8 years and then committed suicide.
Did you see all this blowback that's coming up about this Ansari dude?
Aziz Ansari.
Oh, Aziz.
Yeah, there's just huge condemnation of the fact that this woman has chosen to remain anonymous, but she's perfectly happy to ruin his career. Mm. On the basis that, not that she was raped, you know, because again, this is what we were talking about last year, and I hate to get to something so serious first thing in the morning. Last year we were saying, when you blur the lines, it has the effect of trivializing rape and making awkward, bad sexual encounters seem like rape, like serious, you know? So what you want to do is try to remember the one is a very serious and egregious and harmful and criminal activity. The other one is what people who are awkward around each other physically might end up doing if one is slightly more horny than the other. You know, and this woman's getting a lot of heat from... Look, nobody knows who she is, so she's not really getting any heat at all. But people are saying, look, she's gone out of her way to ruin this guy's career. It was basically a bad date. Mm. And she described it, and he described it, and nobody can find a reason why this is anything to do with, like, hashtag Me Too or rape or any of that stuff. It's like buyer's remorse. You know how you sometimes get some... No, really. I mean, that's the term that they used in a New York Times article, which was written by a woman who said, this is just very malicious. And I'm kind of glad to see there's a little bit of balance coming into this conversation, because for a while it was all about the accuser, and the accused just didn't have any right of reply. And, you know, the minute that happens, I get very suspicious. Because as much as I'm one of those people who will... I give no quarter to a rapist or a man who has no respect for women. No quarter will be given. But I do feel like you cannot just accuse people without giving them a right of reply. And of course, many of these accused people, they go quiet, they disappear, or they write some kind of a blog trying to defend themselves, and then they just hope it'll go away because they're so embarrassed to be drawn into this kind of thing. And of course, many of them are guilty. So they have every reason to be embarrassed, and they shouldn't even try to defend themselves if they've done any of that stuff. But so often, just the accusation is enough. I mean, we've had, I will never forget, who was our prominent bowler in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s?
Mukhyantini.
Mukhyantini, this guy. He was accused of that. Do you remember?
And, I don't. Remind me?
Yeah. Mukhyantini was accused.
Yeah, when he first hit the spotlight, there was a rape accusation.
And it came out of nowhere. And it very nearly derailed this guy's career. It turned out that the whole thing was not what it was supposed to be. But the accusation stuck. And there were many people who just would have nothing to do with him. And I thought it was so unfair. He's just starting his career as a sportsman. This was obviously like a jilted ex-girlfriend or something, and she saw that he was on the rise. Anyway, as I recall, it was a very unfounded and unfair allegation, and even though he was never found guilty of it, the accusation stuck. I just thought, you know, that's in some ways tragic. It's tragic because we still, in the case of the Ansari situation, we don't know who this woman is, so... She didn't have to bear any responsibility, and he's now being, by some people, called all kinds of horrible things. And he's saying, look, it was really, it was a bad date. And if you read her story, with an open mind, you could see how it was just a bad date.
Mm. I mean, I'm quickly like skimming through parts of the story here. So these two went out. Mm-hmm. They engaged in sexual activity.
Yeah, he took her back to his apartment. She's saying things, by the way, like, he just ordered white wine without asking me, and I prefer red wine. And that was for her like a signal that he was, one of those men. If this is a dinner, she's put this into her statement. Then they went back to his apartment, and they were on the kitchen counter or something, and he started giving her oral pleasure.
Okay, so...
he went down on her. And then... and she was...
oh, that was to make up for the white wine gaffe.
She was okay with that, and they were both kind of into it, and then she started getting cold feet, and he was like, oh, please, can't we have sex? And she was like, no. And he said, please, can't we have sex? And no, please, can't we have sex? And no. And then she just got very upset and said to him, this is not going the way that I wanted it to. I thought we would mean something to each other. This is just like a one-night stand. And she left the apartment.
You see,
okay, so she didn't want to have sex, and he pressured her, but the sex didn't happen.
Yeah, there's no sex, and there was no forced kind of... he didn't, like, push her into a corner and, like, start ripping her clothes off.
This just sounds like another episode of his show, Master of None.
Oh.
But on top of that, you also don't know what to believe, because I read a report that said she also went down on him.
So it was oral sex.
Yes. Oh. But I mean, if you're having such an uncomfortable time, why would you do that to him?
Well, clearly, I've always said that, everybody, the man, the woman, whoever's in the situation, you have the right to change your mind.
Yes, yes.
Any point.
And that happens.
And that's fine.
That happens.
It's extremely frustrating if you're a horny dude and you've been led down the garden path and the girl changes her mind. But you have to be respectful of the fact that she's allowed to do that, and you're allowed to do it too. I mean, hasn't it ever happened to you that you just didn't feel like seeing something through?
Yes, because, sure. Sometimes you're in that moment and then now your clothes are off and you're looking at him and you're like, whoa, actually, no.
Yeah.
Nope, that is not going
anywhere.
He has
a hairy belly.
Hear me? And then you change your mind and then you get dressed and you leave.
Uh-huh.
It's awkward, but then you know that you'll never have to see him ever again. Mm. That happens.
But she sent him a message or something afterwards saying, look, I really didn't want things to go this way and I'm very upset. And he wrote back to he wrote a very thoughtful thing back to. He's like, I'm also sorry. I wanted it to go a certain way and it didn't. And I hope we can still be friends. This is basically what it was. But then, she decided because she saw him on TV with a Me Too button or something on.
Just after the Golden Globes.
Yeah, and she's like...
just after he casually won as well.
Right, and that kind of... now he's just won this award and he's wearing this Me Too. And she's like, well, no, I feel like I was...
Sexually assaulted.
So I don't know. These things are so complicated because the lines are blurred.
Yeah, I mean, in this story, the lines are definitely blurred.
So I just feel like he may have to face a lot of serious stuff after this, and she's, she doesn't have to bear responsibility for this
at all.
She's not laying criminal charges against him. He didn't do anything criminal. This is purely about reputation now. And whatever happened on that night, she can't expect him to still be responsible for the way she feels about the night. That's not, the way you feel about something, this is the way I was raised, that's how I think about the world. The way you feel about something can't be changed by someone else. Like, you have to change the way you feel about things. You are responsible for how you feel about the world around you. And there isn't a shortcut. There's no one else who can step up to the plate and do that feeling for you. No one. No one can change someone else's feelings. This is the biggest problem with so many people in relationships, is they get to a point where one of them is not in love with the other one anymore, and the other one thinks, well, if I just do this, I can change the way they feel about me. You can't. She felt bad about the night. He felt bad about the night. It didn't go the way they wanted. He was probably, as soon as she got out of the apartment, he was probably like, this is so annoying. I really wanted to have sex with her. And she was probably like, God, I'm so glad I'm out of that. I didn't want to go through with it.
Mm.
But instead of just being adult and like going, okay, well, no one was hurt, like hurt physically. There's no there's some feelings left on the table, and that's natural. She had expectations. He had expectations. Both didn't have their expectations met. Mm. Instead of being adult and leaving the apartment and leaving it alone, one of them had to carry on about it. And I suppose what triggered her is the Me Too, and she thought, what a hypocrite. I don't know. I don't think he's a sexual abuser. I don't think this guy's a dangerous human being. I think he's like 99% of men who will always do whatever they can to try and get sex from a woman they're attracted to. And then eventually we go like, oh shit, okay. It's at that point where I have to shut up now and let her do what she wants to do and leave.
And where the counter argument comes in is the women saying, the problem that we have with you men is you just keep at it when you should just stop after the first time I let you know that I'm not interested. But then you keep trying and you keep trying.
Well,
and trying.
If you've kind of gone down on her and she's maybe gone down on you, you kind of think you've got an in. You know?
No. I'm
by no means going to the crazy conclusion that many people take this to, that means it's A-okay from there on, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, if you've gone that far, you kind of get the impression that maybe this girl would be into a little more.
Mm-hmm. Well, she stands by this whole thing of saying that she was sending him nonverbal cues. So she says that she would get up and go to the bathroom and then just stay there for a while. They'd walk back out.
Yeah,
and
you
then
see,
she would like try to gently nudge him.
I've had situations where you can just, you pick up like this girl's not really, she doesn't want to go through with this. And then you go, look, okay, you know, let's just call it a night. Let's call it quits.
You see, this is where it becomes blurry because, you know, you'll have a situation where you pick up, the girl is not into it. You'll have one guy who says, okay, fine, then I'm out. She's not into it. And then you'll have another guy who'll carry on anyway because he's thinking, well, I don't want blue balls tonight.
Yeah, but,
you know, that's where the blur comes in. Yeah.
Is either of those men a rapist? I don't know. I think rapist is a very strong, very loaded, very heavy term with consequences.
Yeah, that's why, you know, there's the term rapist, then there's the term sexual assault. There are a lot of these terms.
And, you know, there's lots of these terms.
Yeah.
Look, I think we can just be quite adult with safe words in life. I mean, it's not hard. It's also like an icebreaker at the start of the date. You go, okay, well, look, this might end up in coitus. But if it doesn't, just remember when I say salad spoon,
it's over.
Okay.
So there's no nonverbal cues. No,
that's your safe word, Ben.
I looked out of the window for 7 seconds. Bullshit. Just say salad spoon or whatever.
Yeah. Communicate honestly. And here's the other problem: is like I really get the feeling that she wanted this to be a love affair because there was this famous guy, and she was obviously interested because she approached him, right, at this awards show or something like a while ago, and she was into him. He had every cue was pointing to him that, like, this is a beautiful woman and she wants me. Mm. And I'm loath to generalize, but a lot of men, if you show an interest in a man, my God, he's like, wow, okay, this is great. I'm in.
Mm.
And she wanted it to be a love affair. And then halfway through, she probably went, oh, this guy's just into this one night stand shit and he's going to throw me away after this. No, I don't want to do this anymore. Who knows what was going on in her head? Because she's not communicating with him. And how's he going to guess? And whatever she and he might have said to each other, now there's going to be two sides to the story. It ended badly, but not as badly as it could have ended.
Mm, sure.
And they should have just left it at that. How many of us have had situations where we've just gone, oh my God, all right, this is the worst date ever. Get out of it. Just go. And don't hold that person responsible for the bad date. It's just been a bad date. It's like you go into the casino, you put your chips on red, and it goes on to black. You're like, ah, shit. Get out of the casino. You don't hang around the door of the casino until someone who wins on black later on that night, you're like, that was meant to be mine. Get out. Give it up. Stop being like holding on to shit. Didn't work. One night stands sometimes don't work. When they work, it's great.
Mm. Yes.
Oh, I've had regrettable one night stands. I've had one night stands, where I've been like, oh, I could have saved myself all of that.
Yeah, you actually look at the night and you're like, I could have got a good night's sleep.
Damn
it. Yeah, right. I could have slept properly. I might not have been drunk. I could have had a much better time.
The preparation wasn't, you know, worth it. Like, the shaving and that.
Listen to this. I was once blackmailed, threatened with the accusation of rape. Very long story, but I swear to you, this shit happens. And it was before hashtag me too, says someone. Frankie says, Gareth, can Randall Abrams come in and talk about the essential shoes that a man needs in his life? He briefly touched on this 2 years ago. Yeah, Randall, and you know who else we've got to have? Mm-hmm. The guy who was the editor of Destiny Man for a while.
Kojo Buffer.
He's such a good guy. Get them both in, and let's talk about what a man's got to have in his wardrobe, the essentials. And let's do a one shot, because I'm going to go through my wardrobe and throw shit out. I want space and clarity. I don't want clutter. That's a good idea. There's a pharmacy, I shall not name, in a part of Johannesburg that can't be known, that you can stock up on anything without preconditions for a price.
Oh, yeah, I think that's in Santon above Negrayston.
Nice.
Whoa, Ben knows it, of course. Of course.
What?
Really?
I said I think. They're just clutching your straws here.
Yo, but the way you answered in 2.3 seconds.
I was just looking at Google Maps.
Oh, sure.
Not related.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for a fantastic evening at the movie premiere of Shape of Water. I really appreciate it. Where was Mabali from John? John wants to know why you weren't at the movie last night. That's the only reason he went. That's not creepy at all. There was a guy hanging around the entrance. There was quite a lot of slobber and saliva.
What?
I think he was waiting for you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well. What a pity you missed out. It could have been your future husband.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I was at the movie. I liked it a lot. But Sia was very weird.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Sia.
Oh, no, sorry. Sia was not weird. The movie was very weird. But it goes both ways.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Hey, this was a great movie. It was beautiful. It was like a love story. But with a creature in it.
Yes.
A love story with a creature. You have to go and see it to understand.
How
much can we tell without ruining?
No, don't.
It's like Beauty and the Beast kind of creature, or is he like a lizard, Mark Zuckerberg creature?
It's a bit of the Beauty and the Beast, but it's a different kind of creature. I mean, it was a very nice movie, and it was told like those 60 romance comedies.
Ah. Mm. Two worlds collide.
Yeah, it's nice.
Damsel in distress.
Your heart and mine.
Yeah. Oh.
You know how people go, well, I could have saved myself and not watched that movie. I didn't feel like that at all. I was pleased I went, even though it ended late and, you know. Careful, Gareth. You sound a bit like those people who harassed Kwezi during her rape ordeal with Jacob. Now, did I? Did I sound like that at all in the last half hour?
Well, this person thinks you did.
Okay.
Yeah, but some people, when they start a conversation with something in their head, they'll only hear what they hear. I don't think you did, Gareth. Because if you did, I would have attacked you.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not going to even defend myself. Listen to it again. Tell me where. I'm fascinated that, as Ben says, people can read into things. And I think I've made myself very clear on this matter. I can't be any more clear than I have. But there is absolute need for people to show a balanced and, as far as possible, objective approach to the interactions between two other people. And when you're reading a story about two Hollywood, a Hollywood person and someone else, a star and someone else, there are a lot of dynamics here that have a lot more to do than just dashing this dude's reputation for a bad date night. And I'll stand by that. I don't feel any guilt about saying anything.
I mean, obviously we don't know the full story, but the point you make is of bad dates. That's what we all go through. That's what makes the good ones good. And that's what actually ends you in a relationship. Sorry, not ends you. That sounds very final. Gets you into a relationship because you've had bad dates. You realize what you don't want. And then someone actually just, in the words of Sia, completes you.
No. Oh, that's very nice.
I know that so well. I'm choking up. We'll come back in a moment. Mm-hmm. I got all choked up.
All right, let's get into the news. All right, so what are the headlines, Mubs?
Well, let's begin with the fact that the president has now filed an appeal to the court ruling that he is too conflicted to appoint the head of the NPA.
Jeepers, not just appointing head of the NPA.
The North Gauteng High Court last month ruled that the deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, should make the appointment. And they said that this should happen within 60 days by about the 20th of January. Today is the 19th. And then yesterday it was revealed that the president filed an appeal to this court ruling. Mm. At the same time, the court ruled the appointment of Sean Abrams was also invalid. Zuma's appeal argues that the court erred in allowing for two presidents in the country.
Ugh, please. The president's doing what he always does. He's kicking the can down the road. That's what he does. He's trying to delay the inevitable. And he's wasting our money doing it. He should get a personal costs order. The appeal should be denied. And his involvement in the NPA should come to an end. All this man has done. And one day when we've got some distance and time between the events of today and then, we'll look back and go, what on earth did he think he could achieve by meddling in every part of the criminal justice system so blatantly and so obviously when it was all just about him not having to go to jail, that he ruined the criminal justice system for those people? What have the NPA pulled off in the last year and a half? Let me ask you this. What has the Hawks as a unit, what have they done as a unit that has been a success? Who have they
successfully
prosecuted in the last year and a half, 2 years? Nobody is the answer.
They successfully annoyed Pravin Gordhan.
That's it. Yeah. But nobody successfully prosecuted, in other words, brought to conviction anyone. The Hawks have been... Their whole purpose is to... It's a special investigative unit that prosecutes white-collar crime and corruption. They've done nothing. Nothing. He's ruined them. The Hawks are like a chicken without a head. And the NPA, with those giant eyebrows that runs it. What's his name? Sean Abrahams. Mm. Sean the Sheep. This guy who's about to have his ass handed to him. Now the president wants to get involved to choose a new one? Oh, please. Get out of here.
For the record, I really wish that I had made a different career move and had been part of Zuma's legal team. Can you imagine how much money his legal team have made over him in his two terms as president?
And we just pay.
Tons.
We pay and pay and pay. I want to know.
Tons of
money. I want to know what the total bill is there, because if we could find out what the president's been using to fund these ridiculous... And he's never won one of them, by the way. They never win... One.
No, well, he wasn't convicted of rape.
I'm talking since he's become president. He was not convicted of rape. Mm. That's true.
That one.
Well, that was probably the most important one, because the other ones can always just be reappealed.
783 charges are still waiting to be processed. All right. So then, you know how upset I was about that life estimate thing, and I'm still very upset about it. When I think about it, it makes me angry. Apparently, the Gauteng Director of Mental Health, Makgabo Manamela, has resigned. And the other guy who resigned, what was his name? God damn it. The MEC, by the way, Kledane Mahlangu, who was meant to have testified. Apparently, she's going to be there to say some things next week in front of Dikgang Moseneke.
Oh, did they manage to find her?
They managed to find her.
Oh.
But this woman has resigned, this Dr. Manamela. And then Hannah Jacobus is the woman who is a deputy director of mental health. She says she was acting under instructions from Makgabo Manamela.
Well.
And none of these people that I've mentioned so far have been...
held accountable?
Yeah, they'll all just resign or be fired. And carry on with their lives. And those people who are dead will remain dead and their families will remain grieving. And we must just deal with it. We must just be okay with that. We must just walk on by as if, oh, well, you know, bad decisions led to the deaths of these people. Okay, let's move on. I'm going to study in London. Oh, Barney Selabano is the guy's name. He was the suspended head of health. He announced his resignation on Wednesday. And Mahlangu is due to testify on Monday next week. I hope there's going to be a big crowd for her. We've been waiting for her to pitch up. And it seems like she's at the center of all of this. See, they each are blaming each other. So this Jacob's woman is blaming, or Jacob's woman is blaming Manamela. Manamela is blaming Mahlangu. And then she's trying to blame all of her underlings. No one has any sense of personal responsibility here. Not a one of them. And it's not as if the consequences of this were, you know, a couple of thousand rand or a couple of million rand even, which would be annoying, but it's way more than that. It's people, dead people, people whose lives are finished. And now we've got these lack of accountability assholes who refuse to take responsibility for the deaths they've caused. If there is blood on their hands, there should be consequences for these people. If I were a family member of any of those dead, I would not rest until I'd brought these people to justice. And justice for them means jail time, in my opinion. All right, what else have we got?
Well, we know that the city of Cape Town has been going through the most. And now the city's health department say that they are on high alert as concurrent disease outbreaks run their course.
No.
Yes, this summer, health officials are not only contending with the annual diarrhea season, but there have also been an increase in cases of other communicable diseases, including whooping cough and typhoid, in addition to the national outbreak of listeriosis.
Oh my God.
Capetonians were also suffering from diphtheria and measles.
What's diphtheria?
It's something you don't want, Sia. You just don't want it. And it's getting worse, eh? Because like they're not going to be able to wash their hands.
No water.
There's going to be bobbing turds in their toilets they can't get rid of.
Oh.
Diphtheria is spread from person to person through droplet spread. What does that mean? Of an infected person. You know what? I'm going to have to look up.
Droplet spread is like if I sneeze and one of those little tiny micro droplets of snot or whatever it is from my nose full of bacteria with listeriosis or something, and it lands on you.
Yeah, this is the death of oral sex in the Western Cape.
Ooh.
It's going to become, that's it.
Jesus, be very careful. Be very careful to have interpersonal relationships.
The World Health Organization are going to go to Cape Town, address the media, and
they'll
say,
shut it down.
As of today, oral sex is banned.
They're going to put a big tent. Ooh. You know, like an ET, they put that big tent up around everything, and then the people who go in and out will have to have security clearance.
First of all, the fact that you're being limited to your shower time, we know you're not getting into all those cracks.
Yeah.
Definitely stop having oral sex.
So Aziz Ansari's case would never happen in Cape Town as of right
now. No, not a chance. So another asshole's died, and some people are really upset about this, but I think that considering this man's track record, it's a good thing that he's gone finally. He died at 94 years old. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Is that diphtheria?
Did he interfere?
Careful of the listeriosis. I just sneezed.
Did he interfere with children?
No, Lucas Mangope, the former head of the Bophuthatswana government. One of the many independent black homelands which only apartheid South Africa recognized. And he was accused of, during his time as president of Bophuthatswana, using police brutality to suppress protests. There were huge numbers of young people who were arrested, who were tortured under his regime. He was installed by the apartheid government. In 1993, ahead of the first democratic elections a year later, he insisted Bophuthatswana would remain independent of the new and integrated South Africa, and that he would not allow elections to take place in his country. Do you remember? He was removed from office by Pik Botha and the Transitional Executive Council in March 1994. And remember, the Avia Beer went in there to save Bophuthatswana because they were fans of Lucas Mangope.
Oh, jeez, this is a big deal.
Such an asshole. He led the United Christian Democratic Party based in the Northwest Province after he was ousted from his post as the head of BOP. And I saw Justice Malala tweeting about him yesterday and saying that he is not at all sad that this man is dead, that he was a horrible human being. And I couldn't agree more. So there we go. If you're one of those people with a lot of nostalgia and you think, well, you know, Bophuthatswana was this really good homeland. It was a good homeland. That's like saying, you know, he was one of the good blacks if you're one of those old school white people. In this case, it's a lot of people who maybe had something to do with that Bophuthatswana government, they think Lucas Mangope did a lot because he allowed the Tswana language to flourish. You can find good things about Hitler too. This guy was not a good human being. He was very much a part of the old system that kept black and white people separate. And he benefited hugely from it because he was installed by the apartheid government. So if you're interested in that part of our history, if his death does anything, maybe it'll make a few people read about what happened in BOP all those years ago. All right. Meghan Markle has let her collarbones breathe in an already sold out top. Can you believe this? I don't know. Who cares? I kid you. That's not a real story. It's a story. Some people will read it, but I don't care.
Has let her collarbone breathe.
Oh, it's a real story. I promise you.
That slut.
Mark Zuckerberg. I've warned you about this guy. How many times have I warned you about Mark Zuckerberg?
Yes, we know you don't like him.
Yeah, they don't want him. They want you to know that he bought a yacht. An escape yacht.
Where is he escaping to?
Well, just in case.
If Earth
back
gets
to the mangroves that he came from.
When what happens?
According to a report, Mark Zuckerberg just bought a 350-foot exploration yacht for $150 million in September.
Oh.
Yeah. According to a Turkish newspaper, the massive ship can sail halfway around the world without refueling and is designed to endure the toughest weather conditions, making it the perfect vessel to wait out an impending apocalypse that only you, the billionaire creator of Facebook, knew about.
So, do you say think about or created?
He created Facebook.
Yeah, he'll also create an apocalypse for his kind to then rule once and for
all. I'm thinking. It's called Ulysses, the yacht, and he bought it from a New Zealand billionaire called Graham Hart. The passenger deck is equipped with a helicopter deck, 8 dining locations, 5 lounges, 5 bars, a gym, a day spa, a sauna, a massage room, a wine tasting room, and a cinema. It's able to withstand the Arctic circles and the hottest parts of the world. And Zuckerberg won't have to enjoy these amenities alone. It is commercially approved to carry up to 36 people who one day will say, "We saw this coming," when the world falls apart.
$150 million.
Mm-hmm. Of course, his people have refuted this, saying these reports are inaccurate as he did not purchase a yacht. And then asked if the CEO or any of his family were involved in the yacht or its sale, a Zuckerberg spokesperson said Mark did not buy it. He does not own a yacht and he was not involved in the sale. But there are stories that continue to surface about how he did buy the yacht, so who knows?
Let the man buy a $150 million yacht if he wants to.
Sure.
Like three hours wages.
But why would he deny it? I would just say yes. I bought a yacht. Larry Ellison, the guy from Oracle, he doesn't give a cent to charity. He's very proud of that. He says, "I do not give money to anyone else. It's my fucking money." He says, "I worked for it." And he loves yachts.
Ooh.
He loves yachts. He
That's
does that.
Wealth.
Those yacht races, Oracle always sponsor those. That's the only thing they do. He doesn't like giving away a cent of his money. And he admits, "I bought yachts." So why is Zuckerberg hiding it? You know why? Because he wants to seem like he's like you. That's why I wear the t-shirts. Yeah, I'm just like you. A creep. Anyway, all right, that's the stuff you need to know today. Let's get into Ben's sport and find out what's happening in that world. Here he is. Here's Ben Karpinski with the latest. And if you listened to the Bounce show yesterday, you would have had a whole lot of info about you covered a lot yesterday.
Yeah, I did, Gareth. I already got back into that.
Covered some Alistair Coetzee.
Yep.
Covered a little bit of cricket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you go into cliffcentral.com, go onto the features, or just the shows, the Bounce show, you'll get the full podcast there. But onto the weekend, because it is finally here, which is very exciting. Well, Alexis Sanchez, is he going to be a Man United player, or is he going to stay with Arsenal?
Who's that? Arantxa Sanchez Vicario?
Yeah. He comes to the net often, quite grunty, sweats a lot.
Oh.
But Man United might want those qualities.
Oh.
So Sanchez was, well, I think, with Arsenal for probably about 4 years now. It's been a while.
Okay,
he got the number 7 jersey. There was lots of hype around him, and he's been pretty good for them. Let's just say that he has been very good for them. But the small Chilean could be going to Man United because, well, even Arsene Wenger says, well, it's most likely. So if Arsene Wenger says it's most likely, then it's very much definitely on. But okay, like all transfer news and speculation and stories, it could also just fall to pieces. And he could go to Paris Saint-Germain.
Jesus.
Tomorrow. All obviously, right. That's just me making stuff up. But it does look like he will go to Man United. Is he going to be the right fit there? I'm really not sure, actually. Arsenal have this habit of having these very small human beings playing football because they like to play the fast passing game. I don't know if it's, you know, maybe within the Arsenal setup, Sanchez is very good because he's just a good player amongst average players. It's going to be very interesting to see how you cut it somewhere else. He's 29, so he's out of contract essentially as of June.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he doesn't want to sign anything new. That's why he wants to be a free agent, and he'll make lots and lots of money. So at the age of 29, he's got one probably good contract left in him, and it might go to be at Man United. So keep you updated on that.
Okay.
When it comes to the actual fixtures for the weekend, Man City has still got a 12-point lead. I know it sounds insurmountable, and it probably is, but you know, they lost recently, and then as long as someone else picks up a win, you get 6-point swings. Yeah, look at that. Two of those happen, and suddenly everyone's back together. I doubt it will happen, but mathematically, that's what we're going to look forward to. Chelsea are away to Brighton Hove Albion. That's at 2:30 on Saturday. Everton, well, if you're a big fan of Everton, they'll be playing at 5 o'clock against West Brom, also of an Albion. What is an Albion?
Don't know.
Like an egg or something?
No, that's albumin.
Okay. Because Brighton and Hove and West Brom, they're Albion, both got
Albion's an old word, as I understand, it's an old world word for England.
Ah.
Albion.
Okay. Arsenal will be Saxon taking on Crystal Palace with Sanchez because he's still keen, apparently. Burnley will host Man United. And then Man City have a game against Newcastle. They'll be at 7:30 at their Etihad. Ooh. And then Sunday, Spurs will be away to Southampton. And then on the Monday, Swansea versus Liverpool. So those are all your big teams. In the PSL locally, well, Sundowns is still very much in the lead there. Vitz still very much at the bottom of the log there, but they are playing Bloom Celtic tonight at 8 o'clock if you're in the kind of Vitz area. And then Saturday, we'll see Cape Town City versus Ajax Cape Town. This is the big Cape Town derby, which I really hope in years to come will become a big thing. I went to watch one of these matches last year, and it was pretty fun. But we need more people getting down to the stadium. That will be at the Cape Town Stadium. Of course, Sunday, Cape Town Stadium, 2 o'clock. Banyana Banyana are taking on Sweden. Now, this game is free. You can get,
oh, really?
Go to copy ticket outlets in Cape Town. At the ground itself, there'll be limited seating available. But again, it's Cape Town Stadium. It's huge. Get on down there and watch Banyana Banyana play because they're Africa's best team and they need your support. Sundowns, they'll be taking on Platinum Stars at 6 on Saturday, and then Pirates will be taking on Polokwane City. Now, Pirates and Chiefs are a whole lot better this year. They're in the top 5. They're looking a lot more consistent. So Chiefs will be away to Baroka FC. That's 3:30 on Sunday. So that's all your football for the weekend. Rugby news. Well, like I said in the bounce show yesterday, I had a very good chat to Tank Lanning about what's happening at Alistair Goodseer. Is there any sort of news around that? Because Saru, of course, are being typical Saru. They're not standing up to anything. There's no cock on block or big statements. They're kind of waiting for Rassi to really sort of settle in. And I think they'll just pass the crash ball to him to say, yeah, Alistair, you're out on your ass. But it seems that there's already so many injuries dominating SA Rugby. Kuni Oosthuizen looks to be out for the entire Super Rugby season because of that knee injury he picked up against the Irish. Mm-hmm. And then Jean-Luc Dupre will only be back as of March by the looks of things. He's got a knee ankle injury. And then Ibn Etzebeth, he'll be out for 4 months at least. Sure, that's not good. Francois Herbert, well, he's always injured. Look, there's a very long list of injuries, but it literally is like taking a roll call. And this will be out throughout the season, because that's what rugby is nowadays. Unfortunately, these guys are not built for this, and they will break down.
All right.
In the Aussie Open, Djokovic won yesterday. He beat Gael Monfils. So he says the elbow is holding up, and he was taking it step by step, day by day. We get along.
So, what? Did you start a
was
song?
Was you singing?
Djokovic. Elbow's yes, fine, yeah.
Good. Yes.
In the women's side of things, otherwise nothing really exciting in the men's draw from that. All the big seeds, all the guys you care about are still very much in there. Dimitrov is currently playing. He's beating some Russian. So yeah, there's nothing really interesting around that. The women's draw, well, again, Halep is through. She'll be taking on Davis from America. That's the top of your draw. Wozniacki, obviously, she came back from a potentially embarrassing loss in an earlier round. She's still there. Yeah, like I said, there's nothing really exciting about Aussie Open this week. It's not even that hot. Normally, it gets so hot, everyone's like, oh, melting on court. Please, put sunblock on. You know, Aussies are anal about that kind of stuff. Currently in the cricket, the Aussies are taking on England. This is the second ODI. England won the first ODI. Aussies looking far better at the moment. They are currently 114 for 2. Steve Smith, though, again, failing in the shorter format of the game. But I'm sure he doesn't care because he's the best test batsman.
Mm-hmm.
Gareth, and there's a bit of golf. There's the HSBC Abu Dhabi Championship, which is a great event. It really is. Tommy Fleetwood defending champ. He started well yesterday on 6 under. He's already been joined, though, by Ross Fisher and Thomas Peters. They've come out the blocks firing. A lot of South Africans in the mix here. Richard Stoney, he's -4. Brandon Stone coming back to a bit of form here. He's -3. Trevor Immelman, who I can't remember the last time he made a cut, he's also -3, as is Dylan Fratelli and a whole bunch of other guys further down the line. But Rory McIlroy also started well yesterday, so he was just a couple of shots back. That is playing right now. So if you're unemployed or you just live a life of leisure, you can watch the golf right now. Otherwise, it'll be on for the rest of the weekend. And finally, 20 days. 20 days until the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang.
Oh, nice.
And from here on in, I shall be giving you a Winter Olympic fact per day. Today, I shall be telling you about the 4 new events that will be part of the Winter Olympics. Yes, there's big air snowboarding.
Oh,
there's
yeah?
freestyle skiing. There's mass start speed skating. And my personal favorite, and I think this is a real headline, there is now mixed doubles curling.
Curling?
Curling's basically when this woman slide behind that like fruit bowl.
Or men, it's both.
Yeah, but women have made curling famous.
Okay.
Like men's curling is very much.
There's a big stone with a handle on it, right?
Yeah.
And they slide the stone down this this smooth piece of ice.
Uh-huh.
And it must go as far as possible. So in order to get it to go as far as possible.
Well, it mustn't go as far as possible. It's like bowls. It must go to a certain area.
A certain place. Yeah. There's a line, right? Sorry. And then you've got to sweep in front of it to smooth out the ice.
Yeah, so basically, what happens is that the big stone
is... the most ridiculous sport in the world.
The big stone is sort of moved to a certain area by women shouting at it and sweeping. Those two elements
the
are
shouting
key.
The helps.
Shouting and the sweeping.
Uh-huh.
But now you get mixed doubles curling. This Winter Olympics cannot happen soon enough. It just can't.
So men and women...
In
Pyeongchang, South Korea.
Oh, I just love hearing
you. So mixed doubles means...
Mixed doubles. So there'll be a man and a woman. I'm guessing the woman will do most of the shouting. The man will do most of the sweeping.
In Pyeongchang.
Which is exactly the opposite to what happens in most South African households.
Yeah. 20 days. 20 days until we can be watching this kind of stuff.
Okay.
And our lives will be better. That's
Marvelous.
Your weekend sport.
All right. Thank you, Ben. How exciting. I'm looking forward to this. The Winter Olympics are fun to watch.
Sure.
What date does it start? You said 20 days, so what does that mean?
It's 20 days, Gareth.
No, well, what's the date of the beginning of the Olympics?
Well, why are you making it so quick?
Because I might not be here. I might be on my holiday then.
Well, it starts February the 8th.
Okay, I'm not here. So I'm going to miss the opening of the Olympics.
Opening ceremony will be Friday, February the 9th.
And then right.
The closing ceremony will be Sunday, 25th of February.
I'll be in my own snow then.
Well, are there no TVs where you're going?
No, I don't want to watch the Olympics. I'm going to be in the snow.
But it's the Winter Olympics.
In Pyeongchang.
In Pyeongchang.
Okay.
Where South Korea and North Korea will have a united ice hockey team for the women.
Curving.
I'm going to be in the snow. Not at the Olympics, but in my own snow. All right. It is the 19th of January. Let's get to Sid by Sia this morning. Sia, over to you. Let's find out what inspirational words you have for us today that you can inspire all of us with.
Hey, it's been a few minutes, really, since we've mentioned one of our favorite places in the world, Brownies and Downies.
Oh, I love that place.
Exactly.
Sia and I found it. You know that. We found it in Cape Town.
I'm so annoyed that we didn't get to spend more time there. But it seems that that has set a bit of a trend in South Africa because now there's a new restaurant opening right in Johannesburg in Kailami called the Special Needs Cafe. And that's K-N-E-A-D-S as needs.
As in need the bread.
Yep. Hmm. Because this is now started by a mother who wanted better opportunities for her daughter. And the cafe, she hopes, will change the lives of special needs adult. So her name is Kim Rundle, and she was inspired by a doggy daycare which her daughter Sammy worked at and decided to follow in its unique footsteps. So this doggy daycare was set up as a way for special needs teens to find work. So the daycare was started by a lady by the name of Tamara, who created work for her stepson, who also suffers from special needs. He needed work and had a passion for animals, so she made that happen. So Tamara and Kim then started having conversations around what else they could do to help more young people with special needs. And so they got the idea of the Special Needs Cafe. So since then, they have opened the business and they are planning on how to go about this exactly with the Special Needs Cafe. The cafe will be on the same property as a doggy daycare. So they are currently training staff, and they are saying, though, as well, teaming up with Autism South Africa, that they are looking for funds to be able to sponsor barista training for their adults, as well as wooden tables and chairs, because they say, what's a coffee shop without a beautiful area to sit in and a cold drink fridge for those incredibly hot summer days? So if you actually are interested in helping them out, and if you'd like to find out more information, you can contact Kim on specialneedcafe@gmail.com. So I thought it was kind of cool and cute that they're actually doing their own little bit in helping out young adults with special needs and, you know, opening up the industry in some way. So I think Google them and find out more information about them. It's called the Special Needs Cafe, and that's opening up in Johannesburg. So we have Brownies and Downies in the Cape, and we have the Special Needs Cafe right here in Johannesburg.
Nice. I like it.
Quick, short, and I like it. For Said by Sia this morning.
Beautiful. All right, there we go. That's something to think about today. Mm-hmm. It's almost 7 o'clock. We're going to get to some news later on. There's lots of stuff to talk about, as always. And we've got a couple of interesting things happening. Some guests popping by. We've got some discussions later on. Who's our 8 o'clock today? Who we got on today? We've got, Adrian Lequet. Oh, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they came in. Johan van Lochrenberg and Adrian Lequet from X of SARS. Remember when that whole Pravin situation developed this time last year? They came in and we heard from them. And I mean, it's always lovely to hear these things post. And with a year's distance between the events of that time and now, to appreciate how awful we all felt about what was going on.
Mm.
You know, SARS was captured. It was hopeless. It was a hopeless situation. We were feeling terrible. And to hear these two men talk about how SARS has been dismantled from the inside by Tom Moyane and his crew, I thought it was one of the most interesting conversations we had. So you can listen to that. Adrian Lequet, Johan van Lochrenberg, they published a book at the time around the inner dealings of the South African Revenue Service, and they shared it all with us last year. It was in October that they eventually had published the book and told the story. But all of this was happening in January and February of last year. Alrighty. What kind of music do you want? Can I play my favorite song of the moment?
It's a Friday.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a good one in mind.
Okay.
I think you like it. I played it a couple of times already since we've been back.
Mm. Yes.
I like you, girl, in particular.
Ah. In particular.
Yes. In particular.
Everybody's 15 minutes in a different time zone.
This is CliffCentral.com.